Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and we are invited to once again hear the story of John the Baptist. So this year we're going to be reading his story from the Gospel of Luke. Now John is the one who shows up from the wilderness and helps to announce the entrance of Jesus into the story of humanity. Now in our reading today, we're going to hear lots of hard names to pronounce. John Mark, our lay reader, wins again on that one. He's going to be reading the names of emperors and governors and other rulers and priests. These are all famous people at the time of John the Baptist. Now Luke's going to use their names to date the events, but Luke also is going to use their names for another reason. And that is because these are very famous people, but Luke's going to reveal that it's not through the famous people that God's going to be revealing who God is, but instead that revelation will come from out of the wilderness. So let us listen to Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6.
Thank you, Sam. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went throughout the whole region of Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way, O Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our opening music today, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Before we sing the words, I invited us to pay attention to those words and what the writer was trying to say, because it's a song of lament. It's a song of somebody who is weary and longing for something better. It's a song of all of us who are struggling with the challenges of life and looking for the Spirit of God to be revealed somehow, somewhere. I want to read the words from the third verse again with a slight variation for clarity. And as you hear these words read, ask yourself if they describe the world that you live in right now and if these are your hopes for tomorrow as well. O come, one that nations desire, bind all peoples in heart and mind. May envy, strife, and discord cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Many of us come into worship today feeling weary. Some of us are weary from the endless struggles against the virus that keeps mutating. It's a constant battle to keep you and your family and others safe from the effects of the virus. And maybe you're frustrated that others don't seem to take it as seriously as you do. Many of our healthcare workers are weary from the constant strain that they are under in caring for people who are infected either by COVID or other disease. But we don't see them typically in worship because they're worn out and tired. They are many of the forgotten soldiers in this war. Many of our educators and their families are feeling weary right now, asked to do so much more with fewer people. Teaching positions in South Carolina and other states are understaffed, leaving the ones who show up having to manage more and more students and responsibilities. 2020 was difficult, but 2021 has proven to be more difficult for schools as students are having difficulty adjusting back to life in classroom settings. Teachers and administrators feel that sense that they are constantly attacked, no matter what they do, even in the most trying of circumstances. Students are weary. Students are weary at the constant disruptions, yearning for some normality in their lives. I obviously work in the church. And recent studies show that nearly 40% of pastors are seriously considering quitting. My wife is a Christian educator at a different church who feels that she is working harder and harder than she has ever done before. But like so many working in the church, she sees less of an impact from her efforts because so many have left churches due to the pandemic and changing habits. She and others in organized church leadership are feeling very weary. And on top of that, we continue to have school shootings and racial strife, and our government struggles to accomplish anything of importance because there is so much opposition instead of cooperation. Yes, we approach 2021 Advent feeling weary, really weary. And so in the words of the German writer who wrote, O come, Emmanuel, these words become our words. And his words bind all people in one heart and in one mind. Cease envy, strife, and discord. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. So in the midst of our weariness, we yearn for God to be with us somehow, somewhere. Come, Emmanuel. God be with us in the midst of our weariness. God be with us in the midst of our wilderness. In our text today, we are introduced to some very powerful people, emperors, governors, other rulers, priests. Certainly, these are the kinds of people that God would choose to reveal the presence of God to for the world to see. Famous people. That's who God should choose, right? But God's revelation doesn't happen through any of them. In fact, as the story unfolds, these famous people end up being the villains in the story. Instead, we read about somebody who comes out of the desert or the wilderness, quoting the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. This guy from the wilderness is the one saying to prepare the way of the Lord, for valleys will be filled, and mountains will be made low, and crooked paths will be made straight. You may have entered worship today feeling, though, that your valleys are deep, that your mountains are steep, and that you're in this constant roller coaster of highs and lows and twists and turns. You never know what's happening next. But we remind ourselves of the words of John the Baptist at this time of year, because we need to see signs of hope in the midst of whatever weariness we may feel. We need to know that God is in charge. And we need to be reminded of Emmanuel, that God is with us. Amen. So many of us are yearning for Advent because we need to experience the rituals again. We need to light Advent candles. We need to hear about hope and peace and joy and love. What a powerful message to hear the Zadar girls talk about peace. We need to sing the songs once again, and we need to have a sense that there is order in the midst of our chaos. We need all of these rituals at this time of year because they are signs that in the midst of our weariness, we proclaim the countercultural message that Emmanuel is with us. Amen. That our weariness is not the final word, but that God's presence, Emmanuel, is the final word. As we continue in this Advent journey, I invite us to follow the story of John the Baptist and not look to the rich and the powerful and the famous to encounter the breaking in of God's Spirit, but we look to the wilderness. We look to maybe our wilderness. For it is in the wilderness, out of the wilderness, that John the Baptist appears. And it is in our wilderness of weariness that Emmanuel, God with us, appears. As the first verse of the hymn proclaims, we mourn in a lonely exile until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, dear friends. Rejoice from the wilderness. Emmanuel shall come to thee. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Merciful, loving God, in the midst of whatever weariness we feel, we pray to be open to the ways that your Spirit comes and dwells and is revealed during this time in our lives, in this time of whatever wilderness or desert we may find ourselves in. We ask all these prayers through your Son's name. Amen.